Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Ready to step out of the fog of confusion and into a deeper connection with spirit? Karen Hager's ready to light up your day with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keeps the atmosphere positive and generous. Now here's the host of Out of the Fog, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. And I'm glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. And that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason, and I hope something that you hear in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Do you think you can be successful in business and still follow your spiritual journey? Well, today we're going to meet the author of Zen Entrepreneurship, Rizwan Virk, and he is here to tell you that you can. We're going to talk about his personal journey, maybe learn his views on abundance and intuition, and we'll find out what they're not teaching you at Stanford or MIT about having a successful career. I'll introduce you to Riz in just a moment, but first, would you please head over to KarenHager.com and just click on everything. I'm heading out to California now in just a few days, and you can connect with me there live and in person in San Francisco and in Los Angeles. The public and private gallery readings for San Francisco have now all been sold out, but you can still meet me at a free teaching and healing event in San Francisco on October 16th to learn more about the Breathe, Love, Live healing method. Okay, and we'll also be laughing our heads off and and having some intuitive fun as well. That's on the 16th of October in San Francisco. And on October 24th, I will be in Los Angeles with the delightful Dr. Michael Lennox for an astro-intuitive gallery reading and a high-vibration, laughter-filled happy time. We're going to combine Michael's astrological wisdom with my intuitive insight to give you one heck of an answer to any question you bring to us. So that's live and in person. I've never met Michael before. This will actually be our first time seeing each other in person as well. So come and join us in LA on October 24th. There are details on all this good stuff at KarenHager.com. And as always, if you are looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, KarenHager.com is the place to find out how you can connect with me for a private session. If I can help lead you out of the fog, I would love to do that. KarenHager.com. And now, Rizwan Virk started his first company on a shoestring budget at the age of 23 and rapidly grew it into a multi-million dollar operation with offices around the country. Now, since then, he's started, grown, and sold several high-tech companies in enterprise software, video games, and online advertising. His entrepreneurial exploits have been featured in Inc. magazine, The Boston Globe, The Wall Street Journal, and TechCrunch. He's a graduate of MIT in computer science and in Stanford's Graduate School of Business. Now, he also is experiencing growing success as a filmmaker. He was executive producer for Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take, which is a film that's now been seen by more than 10 million people around the world. And Riz also co-produced the documentary Sirius about the life of Dr. Stephen Greer. His book, Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior, is an international bestseller, and a new expanded edition was just released this year. You can find more about all of that, the book, about Riz, connect to his blog, all of that is at zenentrepreneur.com. Riz, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Well, thanks for having me here.
Oh, you're very welcome. What led you to write this book? This is very different than the usual thing that you find. What led you to write the book?
Sure. Well, you know, the book was really based on my own experiences when I was a fresh graduate out of MIT, starting my very first company with my old MIT roommate. And, you know, to be totally honest with you, I wasn't that interested in spirituality or meditation or synchronicity or any of the things that I write about in my book. I grew up sort of lower middle class in Detroit, and I had tons of school loans. MIT is a pretty expensive university, even back then. Mm-hmm. This book takes place in the 90s. And so, during that time, I coincidentally got introduced to a series of meditation techniques that were about integrating the two. And I thought, well, hey, you know, if this meditation stuff will help me with my business, maybe it'll help me develop my concentration and it'll help me be more successful and I'll make more money, then sure, I'll give it a try. what was surprising was that as I went on that journey, I realized that I had it backwards, you know, that it wasn't so much that meditation and the spiritual growth was there to help me with my business as much as the other way around. The challenges that I started to face in growing this venture, you know, were in fact part and parcel of my own personal spiritual growth and understanding my own, what I call my own energetic patterns and how it was getting in the way of my being able to be successful. And so the issues that I was struggling with in my personal growth were the same issues that were impacting my business. And that was kind of a realization for me. And that led me to kind of go back and re-examine all these experiences that I'd been having. And that led to writing the book.
Mm. And I don't think this is a book just for entrepreneurs. What do you think?
You're exactly right. I mean, the book really is about, is for anyone who's looking to make a change in their lives. And the real goal is for everyone to be able to find their purpose in life and really be doing the work that they were meant to do. And in the book, I talk about the idea of a treasure hunt, treating your life and your career, no matter what career you're in, whether you're a singer or a dishwasher or a high-tech entrepreneur or a finance executive, really, each of us has certain strengths, certain weaknesses, and has things that we're intrigued by. And so, you know, part of what I talk about in the book is learning to follow your intuition by using this metaphor of a treasure hunt. And I don't know if you've seen any of those old Indiana Jones films from the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, in each of those films, there's a spiritual treasure at the end, whether it's the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy Grail, that they're looking for. And the problem is there's no single map that says, you know, here, just follow these steps and you'll get there. What usually happens is there's a clue, and then they have to follow that clue. And then when they do that, after they move in the direction of that clue, they then discover another clue. And then they follow the second clue, which leads them to the third clue. And so if they follow the clues, they eventually do get to that spiritual treasure. And I think that's a great metaphor, because we can think of our lives, I mean, whether that treasure is a financial success or, more importantly, I think it's being in the right place at the right time, doing the work that we were meant to do, the contribution that we're here to make to the world. If we view that as our treasure and we open up our eyes and our intuition, we'll find that the world is speaking to us all the time through what I call the seven types of different clues. And these are like tugs at our intuitive collection, our intuitive consciousness, that are telling us to pay attention to something in the world around us. And the more that we learn to do that, and the more that we do that, it's like exercising a muscle. Right? The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. And the same is true in terms of accessing our intuition and navigating, you know, through the business world and the world of our careers in this way, which is very different than I think what we're often taught to do.
I love the film metaphor. And one of the things in the book, the teacher who you meet in the book often uses film to help you learn lessons. But in those films, as they hunt for the treasure, they are changed and the treasure changes you. Seeking the treasure changes you, and then achieving the treasure changes you. And so it's not just a straight path, is it?
Right. So not only are there many twists and turns, you know, in seeking the treasure in those films and in life, right? Sometimes we follow a clue and it takes us in a slightly different direction than we thought we were going. And just like in those films, like in the very last film where, you know, they were trying to get the Holy Grail, but in the end, you know, Indiana Jones and his father decides to let it go in order to live life more fully, right? So we think we're chasing a specific financial treasure or architectural treasure, in their case, right? You know, an old treasure, but really we're chasing a part of ourselves, and we're changed by that process. And I think, you know, all of us are changed by our careers, no matter what careers we're in. But this is a playful way to look at that process of transformation, and a different way to navigate. I like to call it our own personal, you know, GPS, if you will, right? And it's something that we can hone. Sometimes people say, well, what if my intuition leads me astray? I mean, has that ever happened? Well, of course. But I think what's important is that we have a little bit of self-knowledge, and we learn how these clues speak to each of us individually. And we have signals, whether it's a funny feeling that we have, or a hunch, or a voice in the back of our head, or a feeling in our gut, or, you know, a little tingling sensation in our third eye. We'll find as we tune in that our body is speaking to us. And so a clue, the way that I define it, is when something in the outside world sparks a reaction on the inside, whether it's a mental, physical, or other reaction, that's very subtle, that we may not, you know, even pay attention to. But as we learn to pay attention to it, we then learn which of those clues are more important to us and which ones we should follow.
This is great stuff. We are heading into the break. When we come back, my guest is Riz Virk, and I'm going to ask him more about those clues, the seven types of clues. We'll hear more about his book, Zen Entrepreneurship. This is Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and we'll be right back after this.
There is not just one kind of radio show. Some shows are about health, wellness, food. Others are about helping you on your spiritual journey. Some radio shows are all about busting through and getting unstuck from the crust in your life. But the Dr. Pat Show, well, she does it all. She's been helping people in all aspects of their life now for 10 years. Her interview style, her unique personality, the amazing guests she has on her show are all factors of what makes an amazing radio show. Please join Dr. Pat in celebrating 10 extraordinary years of talk radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for supporting us for the past 10 years. Positive Talk Radio was a vision that we've had, and thanks to all of you, you've helped us make it a reality. We are promising each and every one of you that this coming year, our 10th year anniversary, will be the best yet. For more information, please make sure you stay tuned to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com. And remember, join me. Let's live life full out together.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
want it out, you don't know just what to do.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. If you're ever feeling down and out and you don't know what to do, stop and take a breath and remind yourself that all that is necessary is that you be in this moment at this time. All that is necessary is that you bring yourself into the present and you connect. I believe, and you guys have heard me say this 1,000 times, that it's in the present moment, in our awareness of what is now. That's where we connect with our intuition. That's where we connect with healing. That's where we connect with the divine. So there you go. See, Chrissy plays that music to make me dance in my chair because it makes her laugh. My foolish dancing makes her laugh. Little does she know that that good music can lead to deep philosophical insights. Also here with me sharing deep philosophical insights is Riz Virk. He is the author of Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. And Riz, right as we were going into the break, you were talking about the idea of life as a treasure hunt. And you said there are 7 kinds of clues, tugs, little pulls that can lead us in the direction of that treasure. So can you say more about the clues and how I know what they are when I find them?
Sure, absolutely. And of course, I think there are even more than 7 types of clues, but there's 7 types that I talk about in the book just to try to categorize the different forms of tugs at our intuition. And probably the first and most common type is what Jung termed the synchronicity. Right? And a synchronicity is when you're thinking about something internally and then something happens in the outside world that coincides with what you were thinking about. And the simplest example of this is you think of someone that you haven't thought about in a while, and then that person calls you on the phone or sends you an email. Right? This is the kind of experience we've all had. And it's something to pay attention to because of the a-causal nature of the relationship. You can't, logically say this was X was caused by Y. At least scientists wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. But there is a correlation there between the two. And I think that's a great place to start because it's happened to many of us before. And that synchronicity, that internal thinking about something could have been sparked by something you read, could have been a dream. For example, I had a dream about a friend recently that I hadn't talked to in years. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I haven't, thought about this person in years. And usually when that happens, I know that person contacts me within a few days, just from experience. This time I decided to just go ahead and send my friend an email, and she got right back to me and said, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about you. I needed to get your advice on this business plan. It's due next week for this business plan competition, and I really needed to get a hold of you, so I was thinking about you. And so you can see that I was picking up on that intuition. Now, what made that a clue? Well, one is that it was unusual, right? I hadn't thought about that person in a long time. And therefore, to think about that person, it led me to believe that that was a clue. So that's one type of clue. I'll give you another type of clue. It's when you notice an errant phrase in the world around you, and then that phrase has some meaning for you. Now, this could be on a bumper sticker. This could be in the spam folder in your email. It could be anywhere, really. But it catches your eye, and there's a reason why it's catching your eye. And a great story of this is a friend of mine a few years ago was living in Arizona and looking to buy a home, and this was before the housing bubble crashed in 2008. And she had looked at dozens and dozens of places, and she just couldn't find one that she wanted to buy, and she was a little down on it because everybody was buying real estate, and they were making money off of real estate, and, she wanted a home. And then as she drove on the freeway in Arizona, this car had this bumper sticker on it in front of her, and the bumper sticker said, "Not all those who wander are lost." And she kind of noticed it, and then, kind of looked away. And then that car stayed in front of her for like half an hour to make sure she saw it again and again and again. And she said, that's an interesting, that's an interesting clue. Then she was browsing the web, I think the next day or within a few days, and she saw that same phrase again somewhere. It said, not all those who wander are lost. And then she was reading a book and she saw that phrase somewhere. And then she came to me and she said, I've been seeing this phrase everywhere. It has a message for me, and do you know where it's from? And I said, yeah, it sounds a lot like a poem from The Lord of the Rings. Not all that is gold glitters, and not all those who wander are lost. Yeah. And what's interesting is, she's not a fan of those types of science fiction or fantasy books. For her, it was a very personalized message that had to do with her home search, which had been on her mind, that it was okay to not buy a house. It was okay to stay renting and to move around a bit, which is what she had been doing. Well, turns out, you know, a year or two later, the housing market crashed, and she decided she didn't even want to live in Arizona, and she was grateful that she didn't buy a house and didn't have a mortgage at that point. You know, she wanted to move somewhere else.
Wow.
And so that's an example of a clue that, you know, that had a personalized message for her that had an interesting result that she didn't see until later.
I love what I'm hearing in these clues, too, is that it's not necessary to hear to see the whole path. It's not necessary. The clue is not going to be something like the treasure is in the pocket of that dress, the blue dress. It's the third one on the left. The clue is something like, look into this more. Hey, pay attention to this. Hey, explore. Right?
That's exactly right. And the clues, I like to say, they indicate a direction for us. Right? And then we need to move in that direction. Right? So, you know, they won't say the treasure is in the pocket in the third drawer in this room, but they might say, you know, you need to visit your mother's house in Rhode Island. It turns out, you know, in your mother's house in Rhode Island, and it says you need to go to this bedroom. Then you find the clue that says you need to go to this drawer, right? And then that's how the clues unfold over time. And we can't always see, you know, the larger pattern at work when we follow our intuition. But, you know, we have to kind of have faith that there is a larger pattern and that this pattern emerges over a longer period of time. I'll give you a really famous example. This is from the life of Steve Jobs. And, you know, when he was in college, he decided to drop all his courses. He was at, like, Reed College in Oregon. And instead of taking classes he was supposed to be taking, he wandered around and saw a flyer for a calligraphy class, and he decided to take that instead. Right. And, you know, during that class, he fell in love with how you can make letters look different with different fonts, different typefaces, if you will, different spacing. These aspects of text and writing that he learned about, this richness in that tradition. And then, you know, it doesn't seem like a very logical thing to be doing for somebody who's either going to college or, in his case, who started the Apple computer shortly thereafter. But years later, I think 7-8 years later, when he was making the Macintosh computer, he had fallen in love with fonts. And so he insisted that the Mac be the very first computer that had different types of fonts that you could have in different colors and different sizes, as opposed to simply having, you know, the old green screen text. Yeah. So that's a case where he followed his intuition, but it didn't actually pay off until years later. And that's a larger pattern that emerged over time. So if he hadn't taken that calligraphy class, you know, instead of the web, we might still have, like, you know, green screen even to this day on our computers.
Are the clues ever bad feelings? Are the clues ever things that make us uncomfortable? We've been talking about all happy, good stuff.
Yep.
Can a clue be that we don't feel so great?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, a clue, as I said, is usually sparked by something in the environment around us. And usually we can learn to notice the sensation of the clue. And the sensation, these are very personal sensations. They may be different for different people. But, you know, have you ever been in a meeting with somebody where they're promising and saying all the right things, but, you know, you leave the meeting and with your gut kind of clenched, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a type of clue as well. It's a type of bodily sensation that's telling you, you know what, you may not want to jump right in. You may want to explore this some more, think about it some more, take a deep breath. And I think that, you know, negative clues are very important because sometimes they can help us from making a big mistake. And this takes a little bit of self-knowledge. You know, if you're the type of person that jumps in too quickly, you know, then you should pay attention to clues which help you to slow down a little bit, right? And to help you deliberate. If you're the type of person that waits too long before jumping into things and is overly cautious, well, then, you know, you may want to follow your intuition and your clues much more so. So I mentioned one of the first rules of clues, which is that, you know, are they unusual? The second rule of clues is, do they repeat themselves? Right? And that's useful in thinking about clues as providing a direction. And it may be a direction you want to go in, or maybe a direction you don't want to go in, the idea of a negative clue. And, you know, for that, what usually needs to happen is you need to take a half step in that direction, or a half step in the other direction, and then you look for the next clue. So I believe clues need to be validated. So I believe we can marry our logic with our intuition.
I agree. Amen. I absolutely agree with you. In fact, I think it's vital that they not be separated, that they be integrated. Can you follow the clues even if you don't know what the treasure is?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we used the analogy of those Indiana Jones films, and in those cases, they were looking for a very specific thing. But I think in life, sometimes we don't know what we're looking for. We may feel like there's something we were meant to do, but we don't remember, you know, what that something is. And the clues are still there to help guide us in that direction, even if we don't know, you know, where we were going. There's a great quote, and I forget who said it, but you know, he talked about taking these steps, and he didn't realize that he was going in a pattern until he got to the top of the hill, and then he looked back and he saw the path that he had taken. You know, it was actually, even though it was zigzaggy, it was actually the best path to take. He saw the pattern afterwards. And like I said, the pattern may not emerge until years later. That's why I encourage people to follow, you know, what they're intrigued by, what interests them. You know, I used to be very intrigued by not just watching films, but making films when I was in high school. And I would, you know, come up with entire scripts in my mind for films. And that was a path I never pursued professionally. You know, when I went to college, I studied computer science and then later business, and I've been in the high-tech world. And it wasn't until years later that I, again, followed a clue and found it to a young filmmaker who was making a film about on the Native American reservation in Arizona, on the Navajo reservation. And he was a young filmmaker trying to raise money, and nobody would help him. And at that point, I had become an angel investor, so I had not only started my company, but I had started investing in other entrepreneurs' companies and mentoring them. And so I said, well, I'm used to taking risks now. I've learned that in one field. Sounds like you're just another entrepreneur who has a vision who wants to bring it to light. And I've always been intrigued by films, but I've never actually done anything with them. So I helped him get that film made, became an executive producer and investor on it, and that helped launch, you know, my career in a whole different direction, which is the filmmaking world. And that was wonderful, because I had always had this interest, and it was the clues that said, okay, now's the right time to pursue this interest.
You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Ruzwan Virk. His new book is Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. We'll be right back after this.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community. Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host at transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com. Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. That was Riz Virk doing the yeah yeahs in the background. And I'm happy to have the guests, you know, participate musically in any way.
Riz, you probably don't want me participating musically.
This is why I do all my dancing on the show, just right here from my chair. My dancing is absolutely right for radio. Any other kind of dancing would not be my best way of expressing myself, I think. Riz is the author of the book Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. And we've been talking about following the clues, how you can follow the clues even though you don't know what treasure you're after. That playful way, that aware way, that open way of tuning into your purpose, tuning into what you want, and then moving toward it. I know that you believe that our energetic patterns also play a huge part in our success, whether it is success in business, success in love, success in life. How do you define an energetic pattern, and how do those help us or make us nuts?
Sure. Yeah, I believe very much that our energetic patterns have an influence on our careers and our personal relationships. And it often happens unconsciously. So I define our internal energetic pattern as how we hold our energy and all the fears and hopes that we have, and the way in which we interact with the world and the way that we see the world. So in the ancient yogic traditions, the mind and the body are defined as a series of clear sheets or bubbles called koshas in Sanskrit, and they let light in and they let light out. So you can perceive clearly what's going on and you can project clearly. But what happens as we go through life, and in the yogic traditions as we go through many lives, is that we develop these imperfections, these clear sheets, and then they start to mold the shape of them. And then what happens is we can't see clearly. It's kind of like having a muddy windshield, right? And we can't see the exact causes and effects of what's happening in our lives. We just have these stories that we tell ourselves, and we're just reacting unconsciously. Now, our patterns are not always negative. There are strengths as well as our weaknesses. But I'll give you a great example, and I alluded to this at the beginning of the show, that I was growing my very first business, and we ran into some problems. So what happened was, we had raised millions of dollars of venture capital. We had thousands of customers around the country, including companies like Fidelity and General Motors. And then we hit a wall. And when we hit the wall, I had to kind of examine what was happening, and I realized it was my own internal energetic pattern that was being reflected in the business around me. And in that case, it's that I like to do lots of different things. Well, more specifically, I like to jump into something, do it for a while, and I really love what I'm doing, and then I get bored with it, and then I want to move on to the next thing, and I jump into that for a while, and I'm really interested in that for a while, and I put all my attention on it, and then I get bored with it, and then I move on to the next thing. Well, this is something that happened to me in high school, it happened to me in college, and it happened to me in this very first startup that I described in the book, which was taking place in the early 90s. And so that was three times. So I say three times makes a pattern, and we can observe things that have happened in our lives, and if they've happened several times, then that's an external pattern. And so what happened was that the business was doing too many things. And having, you know, millions of dollars of venture capital didn't make it better. It actually made it worse because suddenly I had all this money to hire all these people to do all of these different things. And every time I became interested in something, we started doing it. Now, let me just say, it's not a bad idea for a startup to experiment with different things or for people to try new things. That's actually a good thing. In fact, part of my the reason why I'm an entrepreneur is because I have this pattern. It's part of my strength that I like to jump in and I can just learn something new and get started with it. But the problem was, in this case, it also became a weakness because we weren't focused on our core business. We were doing too many things, and each of them was suffering. And so we really needed to focus more on whatever was working and less on what wasn't working. And so I had to really grapple, you know, with this internal pattern in order to find success in my external career.
Mm. And those
and
internal...
If I could just say, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, a little more about that. You know, so I like to say that our patterns are like dragons. There's a great Chinese proverb about dragons. It goes like this. It says, if you ignore the dragon, it will eat you. If you confront the dragon directly, then it will defeat you. But if you learn to ride the dragon, then you can take advantage of its might and its power. And our internal energetic patterns are like that. They're like dragons. They're very powerful. They drive us in certain ways. And so if we can learn to examine things that have happened in our lives multiple times, we can at least get a feeling for how our internal energetic patterns are creating these repeated patterns externally in our lives. And then through meditation, yoga, and other spiritual practices, we can learn to do what you talked about earlier, which is to be present, right, and to be in the moment. And then we can notice the bodily sensations that cause us to make decisions, our knee-jerk reactions, if you will, in a certain way. Now, we could be really mystical about this. We could say that, you know, these patterns, you know, manifest themselves in the world around us through some mystical process. Or we could just be more practical about it and say, you know what, every time our pattern repeats itself, we have made a series of decisions. And so we have to look at how we make decisions. And usually we make those decisions unconsciously. And so when we're about to make the decisions, that's when we can pay attention to our body and our energy and our fields and say, you know what, this is a clue that I'm about to make a decision. And I always make it when I have this rush. And when I have this rush, I always jump in. But maybe this time when I have this rush, I should take a deep breath and I should wait a little bit before I make that decision to jump in. Or the opposite. If you don't want to do something and you have a fear, you know, how to tell whether that's a true intuition or just your pattern reasserting itself. Again, you take a deep breath. You say, when have I had this feeling before? And you say, you know what, usually I don't jump in, but this time I will. And so we compensate for our patterns using a little bit of logic, a little bit of self-knowledge. And so knowing yourself is really important in this whole process.
And for you, meditation is a tremendous key, the foundation to this kind of awareness that you're talking about. You've even described using your work as meditation.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I believe that, you know, meditation is one of those practices that can help us to clear the field so that we can see more clearly. It's kind of like, you know, those snow globes. You shake it up and the snow's flying everywhere and you can't see anything inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
If you wait, you let them settle, the little snowflakes settle, and then you can see very clearly, very calmly what's going on. And meditation is a we think of it as a mental process, and then yoga we think of it as a physical process. But actually, they're both doing the same kinds of things, which is that they're clearing these imperfections that I talked about earlier in our fields. And so in the book, you know, I talk about learning to use your work as meditation. And that's an interesting way to look at your work. It's a different way of approaching it. And so if you look at meditation in the early days, it's usually about concentration, whether you're focusing on your breath, or you're focusing on an external object, or you're repeating a mantra, or you have a mandala. There are many, many different types of meditations. You might focus on an energy center in the body, but they're about being present. But in the early days, it's about developing some concentration. And then what happens as you meditate is your mind wanders, naturally. I mean, you start to think about the work you have to do in the house this weekend. Or you think about, you know, that meeting yesterday when somebody sort of backhandedly insulted you and you should have come back with this witty retort, but you didn't really think of it till the next day. And so your mind wanders to the past and wanders to the future. It wanders to possible futures. And then you have to bring it back to the object of focus in meditation. And as you do that, you're developing an internal mental muscle, an ability to focus. And turns out you can do this at work as well. You can say, well, I'm going to take this next task for this next hour or two, and I'm going to use it as a form of meditation. And it's a way of using your work to have another purpose. It's kind of like that old 80s movie, The Karate Kid. You ever seen that film?
That's right. Yes, I have.
Yeah, so in that film, the teacher, Mr. Miyagi, teaches Daniel, he's supposed to be teaching him karate, but instead he's teaching him these chores, like painting the fence and washing the floor. And eventually the student, Daniel, gets mad and says, you're supposed to be teaching me karate, not doing household chores. And he says, well, I am. And he shows him that the motions he taught him instinctively were helping him to learn to block punches and kicks and to be better at karate. And that's what I call a warrior's task. When a task has an obvious purpose, paint the fence, sand the floor, and a hidden purpose, which is to learn karate. Well, we can turn our work into a series of warrior's tasks. So the obvious purpose of our task might be, I have to fill in this spreadsheet, or I have to write this memo, or I have to go attend to these customers. Right? That's the chore or the task at hand. But the non-obvious or hidden task can be to use it to develop our mental awareness and to develop our concentration. Because what will happen as we do that task? Just like in meditation, our mind will wander to the past, to the future, to Facebook, to Twitter, to SMS text messages now. And when I wrote the story in the book, it takes place in the 90s when email was relatively new. But today, we have many more distractions than we ever had back then. So it's really easy for us to get distracted. And so using your work as meditation is about noticing the distraction and going back, you know, bringing your attention back to the present, back to the task at hand, and focusing on that task. And as you do that, you'll be exercising these muscles, just like the student in The Karate Kid was exercising these muscles. You'll be training yourself to be more focused, to be more calm. And the way to know you're doing it right is to see how you feel at the end of the day. Do you feel all frazzled? Or do you feel like you've had a good, you know, workout or meditation session or yoga session? And then you'll know that you're doing that.
You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Riz Virk, and we'll be right back after this. Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Non-stop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive Talk Radio is the new craze. Learn to live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now, our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at AliveAndShineShow.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question. and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
The Divine Divas Radio Show with Patricia Iris Cairns and co-host Cheryl Angela is dedicated to being love in action and joy in jumping into the next new paradigms for humanity. Divine Divas Radio is evolutionary, revolutionary, and soul-empowered, sharing insights of hope, love, and joy every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join the Divas and evolutionary visionaries each week as we step into the new era of oneness and peace together. And visit DivineDivasRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest is Riz Virk. He is the author of the book Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. You can find out more about Riz and his work at zenentrepreneur.com. And we've been talking about the treasure hunt, about the clues, about self-awareness, about energetic patterns. One of the big questions that I get a lot, Riz, is how does all of this now, my spiritual path, how does this tie into my abundance? How can this tie into me receiving, me manifesting more in my life?
Sure. Well, you know, manifestation is a popular topic these days, and it has been for a while. And, you know, we've all heard about things like the law of attraction, creative visualization. And, you know, there's a tradition going all the way back to the 1920s when Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, a lot of them come down to this idea of ask and you shall receive. But then sometimes we ask and we don't receive, at least not right away.
That's right.
And I think that's because there are really four keys to manifestation and generating abundance in our lives. And we're often focused on only one of those keys, which is this idea of asking for something and then waiting to get it. But sometimes there's an element of timing as well that comes into play. And we have to be open to what can manifest more easily at this point in our lives. Also, I think that, you know, each of us has certain strengths and weaknesses, and we're meant to do certain types of work. So there's certain things that are easier for us to manifest, you know, than other things. And so choosing the right thing that's appropriate given our personal path and our karma is, I think, very much an important part of this process. And, you know, one way to think about manifesting is, you know, you ask for something and you create that in your life. Another way to think about it is that there are these possible futures out there for us. And it's really a matter of choosing the future that we most want to live. And so we're attracting something that already exists, right? And, you know, I'm an engineer, so I like to delve into how things work. And so that's an intriguing idea to me that there's already a version of me that has accomplished X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And all I need to do is attract that version of me rather than this other version of me that maybe didn't accomplish X, Y, or Z. And so, you know, I think that's an interesting way to look at it. And as you get into, even in quantum physics, they talk about this idea of a probability wave, that there are these events in the future that all have different probabilities, and consciously choosing to focus on one or the other affects those probabilities. And so this happens at the, you know, subatomic particle level. And so I think it's a very interesting way to look at, you know, this process of manifestation. Let me run really quickly through the four keys.
Oh, yes, please.
So the first is what I call right intent. And this is, you know, what we've all heard about, which is visualizing your goal. And by doing so, we're putting energy behind it. And I believe we're actually attracting that. But one thing that I think is important here, I was talking to an old mentor of mine, Robert Boss, who has written a lot of books on shamanic dream work. And he says, you know, people tend to view the universe and and the law of attraction as an ATM machine. Like, give me $50,000. Give me, you know, give me a new house. Give me this. Give me that. And I think that's interesting. I think we also should learn to listen, right? And what we visualize is important. And I found at certain points in my life that certain things are very easy to visualize and certain things are not so easy to visualize, right? And so you have to, I think, learn to listen and look for the right image and let it come to you. So it's not just about projecting outwards. It's also about learning to tap into these future realities, figure out the one that you'd like to have.
Are you still with me, Riz?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. I think we lost you for a minute, but you were saying that we can tap into those future realities and figure out where we want to direct our energy.
That's exactly right. So I think that's the first key, which is establishing what I call right intent. The second key to manifestation is what I call right patterns. And this is what we've been talking about earlier in understanding your own patterns in success. I mean, whether you've been successful or not successful at creating things, the fact is you have manifested a certain situation in your life. And sometimes you've done it repeatedly. And so you can look back at how you've done things in the past and whether you've been successful or not to find out what's the right way to move forward. And this brings us to right technique, which is the third key to manifestation. And this is important because, you know, there's a lot of books out there, a lot of techniques about how to accomplish something. And the problem is not that there aren't techniques for accomplishing anything, whether you want to become a good baseball player, be better at playing poker, become a filmmaker, start a company, buy a house, right? There's almost too many different techniques out there. And you have to find the one that fits with your energetic pattern. So I'll give you a perfect example from writing. So a few years ago, I was attended a talk by a very famous author, Isabel Allende, who I think was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize or something. And somebody asked her, well, how can I write my first novel? And she gave a technique that seemed like a great technique. She said, write a page every day, and then at the end of the year, you'll have 365 pages. And that's enough for a novel. And I thought, oh, this is a great technique. She's a very famous and successful author. I should go try it. So I tried it, but it didn't work for me. In fact, I failed using that technique because it turns out the slow and steady technique, which she's describing, was not the right technique for me at that time. I was the kind of guy who could sit down and write 5 pages in a day and then not write anything for a week and then write a whole chapter in a weekend. But it just wasn't aligned with who I was at the time. And, mm-hmm. and too often, I think we think of manifestation as a one-size-fits-all process, both with the technique of manifesting as well as the technique of going out in the world and discovering or getting to our goals in life. So I think choosing the right techniques given your energetic pattern is very important.
And right at the end of our time, I've got to know the fourth key. What's the fourth key?
Okay, so the fourth key is right timing or appropriate. And that's in some ways the most important. I mean, sometimes people will manifest without doing any kind of visualization and doing any kind of, you know, spiritual exercises. It's because the timing was right. They were at the right place at the right time. And so that's very much about learning to follow the clues. And the clues will reveal the timing to you if you follow them.
Riz, thank you so much for being on the show. This is the right place at the right time, and I'm really glad we connected today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you.
Thank you. And you were great on the yeah yeahs, by the way. Other people, not nearly as good as you were, but that was perfect what you did there. It was just great. That was Riz Ron Burk. He is the author of Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. You can find out more about Riz and his work at zenentrepreneur.com. And that's all the time we have for today. I hope that you join us next week right here on Transformation Talk Radio and the mighty WBLQ. Thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
been listening to the hit show, Out of the Fog, with Karen Hager. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. If you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive guidance, visit FogCityPsychic.com today to book your session with Karen. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to FogCityPsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Hey, Moon, you want to know something groovy?
Yeah, Jess. What's that?
Dr. Pat has been on the radio for 10 years.
10 years? Are you kidding me? That's awesome!
I'll tell you what's awesome. She's bringing back the Pay It Forward campaign and Holistic Makeover to celebrate. If you want to know more or get involved, go to thedrpatshow.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedrpatshow to get updates about everything we're doing.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.